This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Listen to Joy when you want, where you want with the Joy app. Download it for free at joy.org.au. Joy.org.au.
Ever wanted to leap tall buildings, uphold the law, solve a crime, but just don't have the time?
Go!
Tune in to Joy 94.9, Wednesdays from midday.
When Victoria Police gay and lesbian liaison officers
Gabby and Scott
ask for your help in solving crime.
Victoria Police GLOWS, Crime Stoppers, the Anti-Violence Project and Joy 94.9 working together to help make our community safe.
And welcome to the Victoria Police Community Hour. And we've got a range of guests in the studio today. Here we have Senior Constable Gabby Tyke from Victoria Police, Northwest Region.
Good afternoon. And we've also got from Crime Stoppers Ben Radisich, who is sitting in for Jo Baird, who's away overseas somewhere, wandering the country.
Good on her. And, of course, I'm Greg Akins from the Anti-Violence Project of Victoria. So the important part of this partnership, of course, is you listening out there. We've got a huge range of discussion, haven't we?
Yeah, well, it's the Crime Stoppers week. We have Crime Stoppers coming the last Wednesday of every month, and Ben's nice enough to join us. So he'll be talking about some of the campaigns there they have up and running and some future campaigns. He's going to talk a bit more about what his role is. Also, did you know, Greg, that there's a YouTube channel for Crime Stoppers?
Fantastic.
So we'll talk a bit about that and how great that is. And it's all about, like you said, the partnership with everyone out there in the world, not necessarily just in Victoria, not even within Australia. You can be overseas listening. You might be able to help us solve some crimes looking at Crime Stoppers because you might have been here, you might be overseas having a holiday, you might have visited Australia, and you might actually recognise some of the people even from other countries.
You know, I'll tell you a bit about that partnership and how it does work. The Anti-Violence Project's been sponsored by Vic Bears through Hibernation as a fundraising initiative. And they had their Hibernation that's just concluded in Collingwood out of the Laird Hotel and a range of venues. Now, in that range of conversations between community and a community organisation and the public around those venues, we've had an enormous response in terms of people talking about violence that happens between gay men, in this particular case, mm-hmm. within relationships of gay men, violence that happens against gay men from outside, and also against gays, lesbians, transgendered and intersex people living in the area. The men from Vic Bears stepped up and became more aware and started talking amongst themselves and amongst their community. And that's what we talk about with partnership.
And we all need to do that. Yeah, we need to be aware of what's going on within our community and even within our own personal lives. Talk to other people and get some help. But speaking of bears, a bit later on in the show, Ben's got a story about some bears he'll share with us.
Fantastic. Now, that is the Vic Police Community Show.
Community Hour.
Oh, look, names.
We've been the Vic Police Glow Show, so it's taking a bit of time for our heads to get wrapped around the new name.
Now, stay with us. We have so much for this show, so much to come up, and we thought we'd play a little bit of music for you here on Joy 94.9, Victoria Police Community Hour.
And you're on the Victoria Police Community Hour. It's the Crime Stoppers Week this week, and every week on the Victoria Police Community Hour, we have the Vic Police News segment, and today's is about the young man who was stuck on the peak of Mount Bogong the other day, and police had to, and emergency services had to go up and rescue him off the top of a freezing cold snowy mountain. So I was just, before I go into the actual story, and you can get along to victpolicenews.com.au to have a look at all these interesting stories, I thought I'd ask you, Greg, before I ask Ben, are you a snow bunny?
Am I a snow bunny? I mean, that's really interesting. My best experiences in the snow have been hiding in the room where the heaters dry the towels, trying to stay warm, with a drink in hand. But we can't talk about that.
Okay. Well, we're leading up to school holidays, and a lot of people will be heading out to the snow. And we thought we'd talk about snow safety because of what happened to this young man. Well, this man, not particularly young, but not old, 43-year-old. He had gone up to Mount Bogong hiking, and had the weather had changed and something had happened, and he wasn't able to navigate his way down the mountain, so he had to call emergency services in the afternoon, which is a good thing. He obviously had his phone fully charged and was able to receive a signal. So he had to stay the night up there. There was luckily a hut up there that he could could shelter in, and had to wait till the following evening for emergency services and police to come up and rescue him. So I guess when you're going out hiking, and it doesn't have to be we're talking about snow or winter, it's just anytime you go hiking or in an area that you don't know, you really need to have a safety plan, let people know that where you're going, how long you're meant to be. Usually it would be best to go with someone else as well, but at the very least, let someone know where you're going. And this guy, thank God, his phone was working and he was able to get emergency services to get to him in time, because at this time of year, especially on the top of a mountain, become pretty dire pretty quickly.
Well, if it's 1 or 2 degrees or 0 degrees and suddenly mm-hmm. you've got a wind going past, you've got the chill factor, drops it down to minus 10, minus 15. And it's and people, the core temperature in a human being, after about an hour, you're starting to be in a critical period, 1 hour in the snow. A couple of hours later, you need to be found pretty promptly, don't you, if you don't have protective clothing or can't get out of the wind. So it's quite critical. And a lot of the gay community are snow bunnies. We have gay and lesbian community that head to the snowfields here in Australia, both New South Wales and Victoria, and also overseas in New Zealand. So some of these tips translate across the ditch into travels to Tasmania.
One thing I don't know about, because I haven't been to the snow many times, is these huts that people can shelter in. I don't understand how they work and what they're there for. Are they there for protection in case you do get lost or you do need shelter?
That's a really good one, because some of those huts are pretty historical.
Well, this is, 100 years. This man was sheltered in Cleve Coal Hut. So this was on Saturday night, and I think he was rescued on Sunday evening. So you know, for the police, there's so many different roles within Victoria Police, and we've got search and rescue people. We've got people who work in snow country, so they would have a different role than someone like me who works in the city. So, you know, that's another. I guess if you're thinking of joining police or thinking of joining or starting a new career, Victoria Police might be one for you.
Oh, great,
but please just be very careful. Be safe going out into the snow country these school holidays. Be safe travelling on the roads as well.
So if you've got a tip about those huts and about snowfield safety, perhaps if you've had an experience or you've been part of a search and rescue operation and worked with Victoria Police and with the high ones, give us a call or give us an SMS.
And we've also got some information about snow safety. Get on to there's a brochure called SnowSafe at snowsafe.org.au. So that's something else you can have a look at. It's very important.
Well, I think that's a pretty excellent story.
Thanks.
Yeah.
I try, Greg.
Not too bad.
Oh, and if you've got time, Ben's got a really interesting story about snow and bears.
Well, that's right. When I was younger, I lived and worked in Canada for about 12 months. So I did experience the snow and also a little bit of frostbite after being lulled into a false sense of security by some beautiful blue skies. And the day before, it was only minus 15 outside. This day, the very next day, same conditions, as far as I knew. Only been in the country for a couple of weeks. Minus 30 plus minus 20 with the wind chill makes minus 50. And walking down the main street of town, I didn't last more than about 10 minutes before I needed to jump into the nearest cafe, which luckily for me was very well heated. And again, as Gabby mentioned there, later in the year when it was much warmer and much nicer outside, driving down one of the national park highways and a visit with a bear on the side of the road. Just walking down the road. So I pulled over in my car and just hung out with him for a while.
Oh, how cool is
but
that?
But didn't get out of your car.
No. Don't get... Yeah, that is one safety tip I do know. See a bear, stay inside.
Now, you've jogged my memory. If people listen to Saturday's Detours show, last Saturday they had a guest talking about when you travelled to Europe or even North America to some of the snow climates, about we're not used to having layers of thin clothes underneath the very heavy outer jackets, because when you go to snowfields, often the where you go into, like the cafe you went into in Canada, is super heated. It's quite hot inside.
That's right. You definitely feel it.
So you need to take your big jackets off and strip down to the thin layers that are underneath. We in Melbourne used to having lots of heavy layers on, and the places we go into aren't as heated, so we can actually keep some of them on. So you might want to think about the clothing you do wear and assess your whole wardrobe when you go to areas like Ben did in Canada, and people that go to areas like the snowfields that we're talking about here in that that rescue in Victoria. Mm. Very important point. And you can always listen to Detours on Saturdays at noon. Very interesting show. This is the Vic Police Community Hour with Senior Constable Gabby Tyack. We've got Ben from Crime Stoppers, and I'm Greg Atkins from the Anti-Violence Project here on the beautiful sunny winter day here in Melbourne, City Village, Melbourne, on Joy 94.9. Fantastic. You're on the Vic Police Community Hour with Senior Constable Gabby Tyke, Ben from Crime Stoppers, and Greg Atkins from the Anti-Violence Project of Victoria. And we're going to talk about Crime Stoppers right now with Ben.
That's right. Our target crime for this week is an aggravated burglary which occurred in Armidale on the 7th of March this year. Police wished to speak with a man who broke into an apartment and attempted to steal a laptop on Armidale Street, Armidale, just after 9 a.m. on the 7th of March. It's alleged the man smashed a window and climbed into a bedroom, but a person who was home confronted the burglar, who then tried to escape out the window with the laptop. The man was chased to Armidale Railway Station dropping the laptop along the way, and it is believed he caught a train to Caulfield. The man is described as Caucasian in his mid-30s with a slim build, a shaved head, and was wearing a blue baseball cap, a long-sleeve grey t-shirt, jeans and runners. Police have released images of a man whom they believe may be able to assist them in their inquiries, and you can view those images at www.crimestoppers.com.au. And if you have any information, call us on 1-800-333-000. The reference number for this incident is CA6221.
So how, Ben, do you get, at Crime Stoppers, do you actually activate a report like this? How do you take information from police, and how does it actually flow through that you end up with a Crime Stoppers report?
Two ways. An informant or investigator will approach us, or we'll have seen the job on what we call circulars, which get rotated around the police stations to keep a lookout for these people. If you recognise them, let us know, kind of a thing. So we'll either see a crime on that and then chase the investigator and say, hey, that looks good, good images, we think we might be able to get you some publicity for that. How about we do a media release for you? Or the investigator will come straight to us and then they'll say, oh, I've got this crime, I've got good images, or I've got CCTV footage. Can you help me? Can we get that out into the media?
That's a very good point, because just as Anti-Violence Project is separate from police, we're community police, Crime Stoppers is a separate organisation to Victoria Police. It's its own entity that's been set up as its own organisation. So you share information, but it's totally confidential when people report through Crime Stoppers.
Yeah, that is correct. When someone reports the Crime Stoppers, they obviously can remain confidential, but they can also volunteer. They can choose one of the options when you're submitting a report is, would you like to talk to an investigator? So if you don't, that's fine. Completely confidential, can't be traced, anything like that. That information will then be analysed and then sent to the appropriate place. But if you're submitting information and you wish to talk to an investigator, or are willing to at a later date, if that investigator thinks this information could be helpful of catching that criminal, then they will give you a call.
Great. Fantastic.
And the crime that we just spoke about is on a Crime Stoppers YouTube channel, is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. Crime Stoppers Vic AU is the Crime Stoppers Victoria YouTube channel. That's Crime Stoppers Vic AU. So if you go into YouTube, you search for any Crime Stoppers target crime, which is what they're labelled. That's our weekly crime of the week, which airs on Channel 9 on a Monday night with Peter Hitchener. That'll also be uploaded to YouTube. Going forward, we'll also like to do a few other things with our YouTube channel, doing some community service announcements and Q&As with investigators. But at the moment, you can see all of our target crimes, including this aggravated burglary in Armidale, at the Crime Stoppers YouTube channel. And it's anything that has CCTV footage can be uploaded there as well.
And you sometimes have reenactments of crimes as well?
Yeah, that's correct. If we don't have CCTV footage of an incident and it's of a serious nature, we can organise, or we do sometimes organise, reenactments with the investigators.
Now remember, and thank you, Ben Radzic from Crime Stoppers. Remember, if you know anything about this particular man in Armidale, the reference number is CA6221. You can check out the crimestoppers.com.au website and let them know. If you've seen anything or you recognise the man, let them know. And remember, if you see something,
say something.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
You're on the Victoria Police Community Hour with Senior Constable Gabby Tyke, Ben Radisich from Crime Stoppers, and I'm Greg Atkins from the Anti-Violence Project. But guess what? You're the most important part of this partnership. Without the community, without our gay and lesbian community standing up and talking about violence and working with Crime Stoppers and police and the Anti-Violence Project, then this show wouldn't exist. So thank you for being part of this partnership.
And once a month, we have the lovely Joe, or Ben, coming in and telling us the roundup of stats, everything that's happened in the previous month, crimes that were solved, money that was recovered, all those sorts of things. So go ahead, Ben.
Alrighty. Around 60 arrests were recorded during April for crimes including dealing and possessing drugs. Sorry, that was for May. Firearm offences as well as possession of illegal weapons and explosives. Sex offences including child pornography and burglaries and thefts. Including in the total arrests were over 210 charges. Also during May, $319,700 worth of drugs were confiscated and just under $25,000 was recovered in property or proceeds of crime. So we would just want to say thank you to each and every one of you out there in the community for your information and for being aware of what's going on in your neighbourhood. It all helps to keep our community safe.
That's a huge amount of proceeds of drugs confiscated, proceeds of crime, if you like. $320,000 worth of drugs confiscated.
It's a fantastic result.
And if you break that down, we're talking about how do you price commercial grade drugs? But anyway, you're talking about the big quantity. We're not breaking it down into the small parcels that people sell.
No, that's right. These are drug busts, drug raids, people's house, cultivation size quantities that are being seized.
So if you split that up and broke the drugs down so it was down to what Joe Blow on the street might take from his dealer, you're talking about this drug bust impacts a whole range and a whole network of people. And often people say, well, why don't we legalise drugs? Why don't we make those, marijuana legal? The issue isn't about the people at the down end. I mean, there are issues around psychosocial problems of excessive drug use, about marijuana use. The issue is where this money, this $319,700, goes as the profits circulate up to the people at the top of the food chain around drugs and even alcohol, illicit alcohol, but certainly drugs. There are people profiteering. And when you take a hit of $320,000 like this, it's vastly greater than that they lose in profit and ability to continue to import drugs from overseas.
That's right. It's fantastic results. $320,000, and that's just in 1 month, in 30 days. So you're averaging about, what's that, $10,000 a day?
And if you turn on the news almost every day of the week, you see stories about police doing drug busts in different areas. There's squads out there doing operations all over the place, and a lot of the information they get to get the warrants to do these operations is because you are ringing in or typing in through the website information, little snippets of information that they can piece together and use to then go out there and make these arrests and make these confiscations and do their fantastic work.
Oh, it's great stuff. And I really think sometimes the people at the top of the drug chains are people that hold a high position in community, in society. They seem to be squeaky clean, yet they've got their fingers in the pie, and many, many food chains below are the ones that do the illicit drugs. So eventually you're going to get caught. Joe, we've got a bit of a song. You're on Victoria Police Community Hour with Senior Constable Gabby Tyack from Victoria Police, Greg Atkins, Head of the Anti-Violence Project of Victoria, and Ben Radisich from Crime Stoppers.
And continuing on with our Crime Stoppers crimes. At about 4:15 p.m. on the 6th of November last year, a man was driving along St. George's Road in Northcote when he witnessed another man driving a small green hatchback collide with a parked car. The victim got out of his vehicle with the intention of recording the man's registration. The man spotted the victim and allegedly assaulted him, at one point kicking him in the back as he tried to escape. Police have released a face image of a man whom we believe may be able to assist us in our inquiries, and the reference for this is CA6018. So get onto the Crime Stoppers website, crimestoppers.com.au, and have a look at this image, and hopefully you can help us identify him.
So tell me, how do you get such an accurate image? I mean, it looks like a photo, but it's a face image, which is a facial recognition image. How do your police artists work up an image that's pretty well accurate? If you were to line this up against the person that will be caught and will be questioned in relation to this, they'll be pretty accurate.
They're really good at asking questions and trying to get information out of witnesses and victims, and they'll have a range of images on the screen which the person can then pick. So I guess they'll ask, can you describe the nose? And once they get a description, they'll put a bunch of similar shapes and sizes and colours and all the sorts of things of the nose, and then the victim or witness will pick that one, and then they put it all together. So, and then the person will look at the image and tell them how likely it is, or how good a representation of the person that they remember is. So I guess sometimes it comes down to how good someone's memory is. If you ask me to do that, I would be hopeless. I would just sort of say it was a man, he was 40, around about 40, had brown hair, and that would be about it, and blue eyes. I wouldn't be able to do it, but a lot of people can do that, have really good memories.
And you can also sort of work out the age of the person. It's not mentioned in the assault report, but the age of the person's young. He's got a hairline that comes quite down his forehead, a bit like you, Ben. Where were you, Ben, on the 6th of November with darker hair?
It doesn't look like doesn't look like Ben at all.
But you can tell roughly from the photo, roughly the age of the person, and we store fingerprints in the state, but we don't store digital images of people who have or who are known to police or have been through the court systems, do we? We don't have the digital codes on images to be able to retrieve images of people that look like a photo fit.
I don't know, but I know there was a trial a year or so ago where we were using facial recognition imagery within Victoria Police, and so I'm sure that's still going on. I'm not too aware of where it's at, but I think that might be something we can follow up with a guest in the future. Greg.
The Crime ID Department does have databases of all of the face images they do.
Oh,
that's my understanding. And also, anyone that has been arrested usually will still get the old-fashioned mugshot, which they're filed as well.
Now remember, if you see something...
Say something.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
We're on Victoria Police Community Hour with Senior Constable Gabby Tyke from Victoria Police Close, Northwest Region, Ben Radisich from Crime Stoppers. Welcome, Ben. And I'm Greg Atkins, Head of the Anti-Violence Project of Victoria.
And did you know that Scott Davis is listening in from the Police Academy?
You're a wonderful man, Scott Davis, so thank you for that. And recently you had the Jewish community out there at Victoria Police for your annual gathering of community leaders, and one of our friends at the Anti-Violence Project, Philip Searle, was out there, who goes and is part of the training of Victoria Police recruits every couple of weeks at the Police Academy. He was part of that because he's a firm member of the Jewish community in Melbourne.
Philip.
So we thank you, Philip, for your work, and we thank you, Scott, for your great work training the police recruits and the PSO recruits.
Now in the studio today is Ben Radisich from Crime Stoppers. Him or Joe Baird comes in once a month, every last Wednesday of the month, and you've got a great new initiative you've started with the Herald Sun.
Yeah, that's right. We've starting from this Monday, July 2nd, the Herald Sun will feature a selection of headshots of serious offenders who are wanted in Victoria in partnership with Crime Stoppers. People will also be able to view the wanted gallery on the Herald Sun's True Crime Scene online website. And we are urging anyone who has information on wanted people appearing in the gallery to call us on Crime Stoppers on 1800 333 000. But Gabby, this is a really exciting initiative that going forward, once a month, we'll be able to get a selection between 10 and 15 headshots of people that have committed serious offences. We've got either a good face image, as we were discussing earlier, or an actual photo of the offender, which because they have a previous criminal record and we know who they are and what they've done. So this is we're very excited about this opportunity, and we're hopeful that we'll get a lot of success stories out of it.
And is it right that the photos and images you're putting in there are going to be from crimes from the previous month?
That's correct. The lead up at the moment, a month or 6 weeks before, so anything that's happened in April and June will hopefully go into the paper on the first, or in this first edition on July 2nd. To get this first one off the ground, we've also got a few more serious and a few older ones as well.
Okay, and it's going to be a double page spread.
That's my hope at this stage.
Okay. Hope I didn't give anything away.
Fingers crossed. It's all going ahead on Monday, July 2nd, this coming Monday. At least one full page, and hopefully a second page, which will have a feature story about some of the crimes.
And when newspapers who have a great big large readership like this one puts targeted crimes in their. I've just lost my train of thought. Sorry, Ben.
Yeah, 1.3 million people log on to the Herald Sun website every day or every month. So we are really excited that we're going to have 1.3 million sets of eyes looking for these offenders, and it's a fantastic opportunity and we're really looking forward to it.
And you find when you do things like that, the crimes are solved. A lot of them are solved because of the promotion.
Yeah, that's correct. We have a very high success rate of things that we get into the Herald Sun. Sometimes people with a guilty conscience will see their photo in the Herald Sun and they'll hand themselves into the police the next day. Also, it's not uncommon if they've got some younger offenders, their family sees them and grabs them by the ear and drags them into the police station as well and said, what have you done? So, yeah, it is a great way to... People see themselves in the Herald Sun, and not just that. If people see someone they know or they've had dealings with in the past, it's to go, oh, wait. Okay, and they get in touch with their local police.
So hopefully in the every month this is going to happen in the Herald Sun.
That's correct.
So when's the next date?
July 2nd, Monday. This coming Monday.
This coming Monday. It's one of those ones where if you want to buy the Herald Sun, buy the Herald Sun. If you want to buy a paper with with journalistic experience, buy another paper, but come up to Joy 94.9 and read our Herald Suns up here. You can always drop in for a station tour at City Village at 225 Bourke Street, Melbourne, Level 9. And we'll have a couple of Herald Suns out next Monday that you can read while you're doing your station tour here at Joy.
And all of the... crimes and the criminals will also be on the Herald Sun website.
And what's this true crime scene online that you were talking about?
That's part of the Herald Sun section. So they've got a part of their news feature, one of their feature sites on the website is a true crime section. And in that, there is a dedicated Crime Stoppers page.
Fantastic. And while we're speaking of Crime Stoppers crimes, we'll go into our final crime for this week, which is a willful and obscene exposure on the Werribee Railway line, which occurred between 12:20 a.m. and 12:50 a.m. on the 19th of November last year, where a woman was seated on a Werribee line train and a man approached and sat down across from her. The man attempted to get the woman's attention several times before he allegedly pulled his pants down and exposed his penis to her. The man's described as between 30 and 40 years old, about 186 centimetres tall, has wavy reddish-brown hair, and we've released images of a man whom we believe may be able to assist us in our inquiries. Now, these aren't the greatest images, but once you get onto the website, sometimes they're a little bit clearer than what we've got printed out. But please get along there. The reference is CA6102. It's a serious offence, and we'd like some help in identifying this man.
Well, we need to identify him because... low-level offences like this, it might be severe for the woman involved. I don't mean to diminish her experience in any way, but they often escalate. So we have people that do this once, do this twice, continue the behaviour. If they're not caught, it can escalate into more heightened levels of offensive behaviour, and we need to catch the man.
Yeah, that's right. And also with an offence like this, this woman has come forward, but there may be other women out there who have travelled on this Werribee line that have had a similar... incident occur, and if that is the case, come forward, let us know, and hopefully we can catch this guy.
And we have another crime. Well, it's not really a crime, it's a wanted person.
Yeah, our weekly wanted this week is Yu Sha. 20-year-old Yu Sha was allegedly involved in a serious assault in Southbank in February last year, and a warrant for his arrest has been issued. Yu Sha is described as about 175 centimetres tall, with a medium build and brown eyes and black hair, which may have since been bleached or dyed red. If you know Yu Sha, call us on 1-800-333-000, and you can view an image of Yu Sha and other people wanted on warrants at www.crimestoppers.com.au.
Now remember, if you see something...
say something.
If you have any knowledge concerning any crime, call Crime Stoppers on 1-800-333-000 or visit crimestoppers.com.au. If it's an emergency, always call 000.
Here on Joy 94.9, our last track on the Victoria Police Community Hour. Stay with us, a little bit more to come.
Well, Ben Radisich from Crime Stoppers is with us today, and he's brought with him some interesting trivia.
Yeah, just keeping up Joe Baird's tradition. Did you know Melbourne started as an illegal settlement and was once known as Batmania?
No.
Batmania?
Batmania.
That's great.
Apparently, a treaty was signed with Aboriginal leaders in 1835, which gave a syndicate of Tasmanian sheep farmers led by John Batman the ownership of most of the land bordering Port Phillip Bay. Batman and his associates paid members of the Wurundjeri tribe 40 blankets, 30 axes, 100 knives, 50 scissors, and 30 mirrors, as well as 200 handkerchiefs and 100 pounds of flour to buy Melbourne.
Wow.
The New South Wales governor at the time, Richard Bourke, declared Batman's treaty illegal and the settlers to be trespassers, but within 2 years, more than 350 people and 55,000 sheep had already landed in Melbourne, and thus the city began.
So there's always been a rivalry between Melbourne and Sydney, and being a former Sydney person and now a Victorian, I can see why there's that rivalry. It was from the very beginning.
From the very beginning. The guy up in New South Wales says, you guys can't do that. And then, well, yes, we can.
And they did.
Thanks, Ben. It's been fabulous. Ben Radisich from Crime Stoppers. Gabby Tyhack, always good to have you here in the studio. Ben, we'll have you back on the third week of next month.
The last week.
The last week of next month. Mm-hmm. The third week is Lesbian Matters, of course.
Yes.
You're here on Joy 94.9. We've had a range of Crime Stoppers reports. You can listen to the podcast that goes up during the week on joy.org.au/podcasts, and you'll be able to hear again all those different details on how to contact the Crime Stoppers. Thanks, everyone. Have a great week, and we'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.